Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. I am so thrilled that Dr. Craig Chepke is out there having a conversation that so many people have been trying to avoid. Well, you cannot avoid it anymore. This is expert advice when feeling down is actually serious depression. And that is one little sentence for what we're going to talk about in a very short conversation. The numbers are not lying. I personally think that they're understated. But the question is, what can we do and how do we do it? Dr. Chepke, look, here's my question to you. I could ask you a bunch of questions about statistics, but I don't want to know that right now. I want to know what touched your heart to have you become the voice for this conversation.
Well, first off, let me say thank you for allowing me to be on your program. It's a pleasure of mine to be able to, in conjunction with Johnson & Johnson, to be able to partner with them and be here because this is a very personal topic for me. So in 2020, my uncle took his own life after struggling with and ultimately losing his battle with major depressive disorder. And I was a big advocate for breaking down the stigma, breaking down the barriers, and helping people get access to information because knowledge is power. And ever since then, it has really even fueled my fire even more. Like you said, we can't avoid this conversation any longer. People are dying every day.
You know, I'm a little naive, but I'm also an optimist sometimes. And I will tell you that I thought when Olympian Simone, openly had a moment where we literally saw some of the signs, some of the things, right? Yeah. We literally saw it, but yet we did not understand it. And I think the most important thing is if you could help with this, to help people understand what the signs are, what the symptoms are, and then we could talk into more of the data. But there are things we can be looking out for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially this time of the year, I mean, a lot of people will say that they've got the holiday blues, the winter blues, things of that nature. But clinical depression, as it's often called in society, which on the professional side, we would call major depressive disorder, it's another animal altogether. So for major depressive disorder, it's a period of at least 2 weeks, but usually more than that for most people, where they have symptoms almost every day for most of the day. And the symptoms are pretty wide ranging. So there is a depressed, low mood, but it's really the bottom of the barrel. I mean, hopeless, helpless, worthless, feeling like nothing ever could get better. And then that's paired with things like the profound loss of interest. So it could be losing interest in hobbies or jobs, even people in your family, your spouse, your children, spending time with them. Nothing feels good. Nothing seems interesting. Even things like grooming and bathing. Someone just might not have the interest or motivation to do anymore or energy to be able to do. There's also usually concentration or memory difficulties, just a really pervasive draining of the person's spirit. And unfortunately, it is commonly associated with suicidal ideation or suicidal behaviors.
You know, you are one of the leading experts on this, doctor. And I just want people to know about this because it's really an honor and very special to have you doing this. Many people don't know that when you get out there and start to have these conversations, you go from one interview to the next and you're on a mission because we need to be on a mission with this. Yeah. I also work with women in recovery, addiction, both narcotics and alcohol. Yeah. And this time of year, it is just beyond.
Mm-hmm.
But have the numbers from where you sit, let's talk numbers for a second, because we got a whole lot of other things to talk to. But I think people, if they knew the numbers and what actually is being reported, I think they'd say, "What, Dr. Craig? What did you just say? What do you think?"
No, I think you're right, because a lot of times people might think, oh, well, that's not something that could happen to me or to my family. But what the numbers say is that at the present time, it's estimated that 1 out of 10 people have a diagnosis of major depressive disorder diagnosed by a healthcare provider. And if you look at the lifetime of individuals, that 1 out of 5 people has ever had a diagnosis of major depressive disorder. So 1 out of 5, that is incredibly common. And it impacts everyone personally at some level, whether as a friend, spouse, family member, somebody. It's out there and it's everywhere. People are just afraid to talk about it.
Yeah. You know what I love about this? I mean, certainly I could spend all day talking about your credentials, but what I love about your background, you know, NYU School of Medicine, Duke University, what I love about where you sit today, right? Psychiatry, University of North Carolina School of Medicine. What I love about this is you're both practitioner. I know that sounds like a strange word, even though you're a psychiatrist, you're still, what I mean is you're seeing people.
Oh, yeah.
As well as research. And I think that is sort of a combination that we need. Not only do we need to understand up close and personal what's happening mm-hmm. with people, but then you're also conducting studies. Isn't it important that we integrate or interweave both to provide a picture so that we have new opportunities? We have a new organization. We have organizations like Johnson & Johnson that could come forward and partner with you, right? Isn't this important to really get both the anecdotal and the empirical stuff together?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one saying that I use is that the plural of anecdote is anecdotes, not evidence. We need evidence basis behind what we're doing as healthcare professionals. And research, we always need to bring new treatments, because there's always going to be people who have mental health conditions and any health condition that aren't being well served. And that's why when the FDA approved Spravato, which is a treatment for treatment-resistant depression, we haven't brought this up so far today, but treatment-resistant depression, despite what the name implies, there are treatments for it. Treatment-resistant depression is when the person has been on at least 2 antidepressants of an adequate dose and adequate duration, which is usually 4 to 6, 6 to 8 weeks, and they haven't had a good response. Well, there's not that many treatments for it, but not zero. So people with treatment-resistant depression, there is hope available. But in 2019, when Spravato was approved, that's a medication that I've seen favorable results with many of my patients with treatment-resistant depression. Now, unlike most medications that we prescribe or take, it's not a pill, it's a nasal spray, and it's delivered in a healthcare setting, and it's not on a daily basis. It's 2 times a week for the first month, once a week the second month, and thereafter can be weekly or every other week. And like all medications, there's potential benefits and potential risks. So there's certain side effects that Spravato could have. And if someone wants to know about it, then they should, a couple things. One, talk with their healthcare provider, but also Spravato.com. It's Spravato.com is a great resource.
And I really encourage people to do this. Can I get back to something you said? Because now, just like empirical and anecdotal data, I want to get back to something you said. Mm-hmm. We need to have a conversation with our physician, because here's the illusion we have. We have the illusion that our physicians, they know everything. Now, they're very busy people. They may or may not overthink, but yet we really hesitate to bring a conversation to them. What have you learned about how we can help people open up the conversation and say, I mean, I hand my doctor a written note and I say, today, this is what I found. And I would put Spravato.com on there in a hot minute.
Yeah.
How do we encourage people not to be afraid to have these conversations? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, I love that you bring an agenda to your appointments.
I do.
That's actually something I recommend to my patients, because, you know, it can be a long time or feel like a long time between appointments. You may not remember by the time you get to the appointment what you wanted to talk about or forget details. So keeping a journal, keeping a list, whatever it is, I think those are great ways to be proactive in your healthcare. But then on top of that, we just have to, as you said, have the conversation. A lot of people are afraid because of stigma. They feel like it's a moral failing or weakness or something they should just get over, pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I mean, I've heard it a million ways. I'm sure you probably have too.
Yeah.
But this is a medical condition.
Yeah.
So one story that I like to tell to try and combat that stigma is that until the invention of the MRI machine, then multiple sclerosis was thought to be psychosomatic.
That's
more
right.
or less that doctors said, oh, you're just kind of making it up. It's all in your head. Well, the thing is, when the MRI was invented, they did the MRI scans of people with MS, and oh, what do you know? They have all these plaques and lesions in their brain and in their spinal cord. That's where we're at, I believe, with major depressive disorder. We just don't have the technology yet, whether it's going to be a scan, a blood test, a DNA test, I don't know. But eventually, some way we'll be able to see that this is a real medical condition. But just because we don't have that technology yet does not mean it's not a real medical condition, that we need to just be brave and speak about it. If you're not sure if it's MDD or not, ask your healthcare provider. If you don't have a psychiatrist or psych NP, talk to your primary care provider, and they can either treat you themselves or help to facilitate a referral.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest conversations to have, especially if you've been told you have something that's not treatable, as this is a lot of times we're told this, right? We're every day there's something new. I want to get back to something that we talked about. There are signs, and especially coming into the holidays, I really want people to know not to blow these off. Yeah. You know, the holiday doesn't explain a lot of things. What is it in your practice? What have you seen some of the signs? And then, you know, my follow-up question is this. Don't be afraid to ask someone to come with you, right? Mm-hmm. Because they see us better than we see ourselves. But what should we be on the lookout for? What signs?
Right. So as you made a lot of great points there I'd love to hit upon. So if you know someone that you think is struggling or could be struggling, don't just write it off. You know, talk to them. Say, hey, I've noticed these things. I've noticed that you haven't shown up to go to bowling night the past couple of weeks, or other things that might seem a little bit out of character, that maybe they're withdrawing a little bit, taking a couple steps back. You know, maybe it is just that they're busy with life and kids and who knows what, but don't take it for granted that it's just because they're busy. Bring it up, show that you care about the person. And then if they are having some issues, and urge them to talk with a healthcare provider and go with them. Actually, just yesterday, I was seeing a patient in my office just over here, and his wife came along with him. And she's like, is it okay if I'm here? I was like, yes, absolutely. You know, there's a reason why doctors aren't allowed to prescribe to themselves, because we all have blind spots about ourselves. And I prefer, if someone feels comfortable with it, for them to come with a spouse, a child, a parent, a best friend, someone who knows them really well. Because I think that for me as a clinician, it gives me a lot more information. You know, I mentioned imaging before. I say it's like seeing someone by themselves is like seeing them in two dimensions, like an X-ray. Whereas seeing someone with someone who knows them very intimately is like going from two to three dimensions.
Yeah. I want to ask you this question. And I know these are really short interviews, but I think this is a really important one. We can see changes in the alcohol consumption. I can't talk about drug use, but you know, if someone you love or care for or watching is doing something that they haven't done before, even if it's something like my state made marijuana like open and getting it, but yet the person has never had a history of that. These are things we should look for. And yet these are really hard conversations. First of all, alcohol is common in the society.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to blow off. Oh my God, you're overreacting. I'm just having a few drinks. And yet there's like a half a bottle gone. How do you help people understand that these conversations are okay to have?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. A lot of people in that situation, it could be self-medicating depressive symptoms. And so really just approaching them with a curiosity and concern that, hey, you know, I've noticed this and it may be nothing. I'm the last person to judge you.
Yeah.
But I want to know, do I need to help you? Is there anything that you need help with that I can do? Can I help to get you connected with a healthcare provider? You know, I just want to make sure that you're okay is the most important thing. You know, that sort of approach of curiosity and compassion is much more likely to get good results than, you know, really going in and giving someone the grilling them about it.
Yeah, the 1-2 punch. Look, I want to take a minute. I know we only got a couple left, but I want to talk about Spravato for a minute. And again, S-P-R-A, V as in Victor, A-T-O .com. I know you've got to be really over the moon about this, but I didn't ask you why. This is a treatment that many people have said you cannot have a treatment for treatment-resistant depression. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about how this is a solution for the time we have left, if you don't mind.
Sure. So there are treatments, despite the name. Sometimes I joke that psychiatrists can't name anything, right? Like treatment-resistant depression. When people hear that, they might think, well, I guess there's no hope because it's resistant to treatment, so I shouldn't bother trying any treatments. There are fewer treatments than for the regular major depressive disorder, but that's not zero. And so even adding one new treatment like Spravato in 2019 when it was FDA approved, that's a big deal. Because at every option that we add for a condition like treatment-resistant depression adds hope. And that's the most important thing that a healthcare provider, in my opinion, can give to a person is hope. So that's, I was very excited and remain excited that this is an option for adults with treatment-resistant depression.
I want to thank you for today. I only have one other question. I'd love to know your personal message and what you'd like to leave us with here, Dr. Craig, please.
Well, it stems upon that idea of hope. That no matter how bad things are, no matter how bad they seem, there is always hope. And that for anyone out there who is struggling with suicidal thoughts, first know that there is a 988 number. Like there's 911 for general emergencies. 988 is the suicide and crisis lifeline that you can call 20 or text 24/7. But if you feel like the world would be better off without you, I guarantee you it would not be. Yeah. So hang in there. Keep fighting and always maintain hope and reach out for help because we are there in the healthcare community to catch you.
Yeah. And I want to have this message for those of you out there that are watching people that are close to you. I would err on the side of being proactive when you hear the language and you see the signs. I would err on the side of saying, I think I should do something here. Because if you err the other way, you may not be able to save that life, right, Dr. Craig?
I agree 100%.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Again, Spravato.com. I'm Dr. Pat, Dr. Craig Chepke. We'll see you in a few. What if I were to tell you that we're going to unlock some secrets. Unlock some secrets about your respiratory system and making the most of the defense you already have. What if I were to tell you we could do something truly different with Dr. Dr. Nazlee Latifi. What do I mean by that? Co-founder and chief scientific officer at Applied Biological Laboratories. But here's where we live in right now. I did a whole show, a full hour, on the world of technology that we are yet to discover. What if we had discoveries now for things that we thought we'd never have discoveries for? That's what the good doctor is going to talk with us about, because many of us have been in a world where we thought we didn't have solutions. But if you're Dr. Nazlee, you know that solutions are what she's passionate about. Right, doctor? We're talking about something that people may look at and say, are we really talking about that today? I mean, how many times do people say that to you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you so much for bringing that up. That is exactly right. And that is the passion behind our product and our company and why we started it over 10 years ago and all of the research that we did. Because we thought, you know, it doesn't make sense that why do we keep getting sick? And this was way before the COVID pandemic and before masks became the norm. You know, we started to say, okay, so why do we get sick? How do those viruses even get in us? And we initially thought, and I think like everybody else is probably thinking, okay, how do we get sick? Well, if you think about it, the viruses are in the air. How do they make us sick? You imagine that they go to our lungs and all of a sudden we get sick, but that's not true. When you drill down on the science, you find out that there's a process that happens. So the virus is in the air, it binds to receptors in our nose and throat, and that's where we need to focus on. That's where the science needs to focus on. And that is the mystery and the discovery, is that we actually at that point can do a lot to prevent ourselves from getting sick. And we actually have immune cells that are right there. And there are many, many different parts of our immune system. So we have vaccines that help us build antibodies, and those are immune cells in our blood. But we miraculously have immune cells that are lining our nose and throat and are right there to help protect us. There are different types of immune cells, but we can activate them with a unique blend of ingredients, which we did.
Yeah. Dr. Latifi, here's the thing I want to say. Bingo. Because this may seem like common language to you. This may be like, people don't, they don't know this. No, people don't know this. And there's a lot of reasons why we do that in a much longer show. We talk about on a longer show, social media influence, information. But what you said, 10 years you've spent now creating a solution that, my language, not very scientific, but here it goes, that cuts this off before it can build up momentum, right? Is that like accurate in any way?
Yes, that's exactly right. Because we actually have a defense and a mask inside our body. It's not a mask that's on the outside, but it's on the inside. It's inside of lining our nose and throat, and it's a barrier. So we have a respiratory barrier, just like we have a gut barrier, which people might be more familiar with because that's entered the mainstream more right now. But we also have a respiratory barrier, which works much like our gut barrier. So a gut barrier, you need to have probiotics to build up the good bacteria, to build up your barrier so that when you eat food, the bad stuff doesn't get in your body. It's the same thing with the respiratory barrier. There's a lining, and your body has immune cells, and it's always fighting for you to keep the viruses out. But when you have chronic inflammation, or you have diabetes, or you're obese, which all have in common underlying chronic inflammation, that compromises your barrier, because that takes energy, takes nutrients away from those immune cells at your barrier, because they're fighting other inflammatory issues elsewhere. So,
I love to use the analogy of multitasking. I just love to use this analogy because I've gone through my own healing journey and I know exactly what you're talking about. But I love what you just said, because think about your life. You know, how are you ever able to focus on that one thing you want to get done really well when you're trying to battle and fight 100? Before we go on, I want to ask you about the ingredients. I want people to know how they can find out more about what we're talking about. What's the best website for people to go to?
Well, our website, since we are on the cutting edge and we are the first to take this concept of mucosal immunity, there is science. There's science that you can go to the NIH website. If you Google mucosal immunity, there's a lot of great science on how these molecules work, and the cells work in a respiratory lining. But we are at the cutting edge. We're the first to, actually formulate something that works in this way. So I would say go to our website, biovanta.com, and that will be the gateway to other science that you can see and other people that have been written that have written about us.
Okay, I want to spell it because I've already been there. It's B as in boy, I-O, V as in Victor, A-N-T-A.com. Go there, lots of information. Also, more information than you can imagine. I want to talk about ingredients, if we could, because I know these are short interviews and I want to just give people a sense of what you all put into creating this. Can you give us a rundown if you don't mind?
Yeah. So first, that's a great question. And thank you so much for asking it, because I love talking about it. So first, we sought to understand what is really happening. Because as a scientist, as someone who, like you said, you know, we can always discover more. I mean, that's my passion, really discovering. And the first step is to question. So before you discover anything, you have to have a question. Well, I wonder if this is actually working in this way, or why am I assuming that something's working as it's working? So I really questioned, okay, so why are we having all these respiratory epidemics, and what's happening? What's not going right? Because I fundamentally believe in nature. And so I believe that there is a solution. So I drilled down and I said, okay, what is actually happening? And then what is in nature that can help us? What can we find? Because a lot of times nature has answers that we haven't discovered yet why or how they work, but they work. And we put together a formula of natural molecules containing what we call an immune complex, which is lactoferrin, which is found in breast milk. and lysozyme, which is found in honey as well as egg white, and aloe vera, which has a lot of anti-inflammatory properties. And what lysozyme and lactoferrin have in common is that they're natural molecules that are designed to protect the embryo or the baby, to fortify its immune system before it actually builds up its own immune system. So they're very powerful immune compounds. And we do know how they work. It's not totally mysterious.
Right.
But yeah, but they're naturally found in our respiratory lining, and they're naturally there to defend ourselves. So that was our starting point. And then we said, how do they work? Because we have a laboratory in Brooklyn, and we're part of Startup New York. And we also have a laboratory in New York City. And, you know, we have scientists working for us, and we have a lot of collaborators as well, including in academia. And we said, okay, so how can we make the best formulation to work effectively? And yeah, so that's how we came up with BioVanto.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm so glad that we're talking about this. I know this is a really short interview, so I'm going to talk really fast. I'm from New York, so don't worry. When I went and I looked at this, I was blown away by some of the things you've discovered. Even your conversation about plant-based aspirin. I mean, everything that you've done. And what I want to say to people that look at this, it isn't just about the ingredients. It's about the way you formulate these together. You know, sometimes people read things, they're like, ah, I can do that. Let me go get. No, you can't just go get it. You guys have spent 10 years formulating something that works and are proving it. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, it's formulated. And, you know, I always, like I said, I believe, we all believe in that nature is best. So if you can do whatever you can to not get sick, yeah, and not have to use, yeah, BioVanta, that's great. That nothing would make me happier. But if you do get sick, I want you to have at your disposal something that actually works and something that will actually help you heal instead of make you worse.
Yeah, lysozyme is really fascinating. And we don't have enough time to really go into that. But if we did, you and I would have a party in talking about it. Because it's one of these things that we don't, yes, unless you've been not well, like my 10-year journey, you don't know about these things. But look at what you're doing. Tell us about, really quickly, the 10-year journey for you, because I know we got like 2 minutes left. I want people to understand that you spent 10 years formulating, approving, research, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you brought up lysozyme. I'll just say really quickly, it was discovered by Alexander Fleming, the same amazing scientist who discovered penicillin. yeah, it's amazing, miraculous molecule. Yes, 10 years. But before that 10 years, I, did my PhD in, molecular, biology and neuroscience, and that took some time as well. So it's a lot of time and effort into really drilling down into the mechanisms behind what's happening. And yes, the 10-year journey was basically kicked off by the bird flu pandemic in 2009,
right?
Which I'm old enough to have lived through, and just had our son at that time. And this really got the wheels turning and got me thinking about everything that I studied in my PhD about molecules and receptors and how viruses bind. And then, you know, we just started questioning everything, and we had to pinch ourselves along the way, because even we didn't believe, oh my gosh, like these things have been on the market for so long. How? And, you know, it just, I can't even fully explain it now. All I can say is that the science doesn't add up, and, you know, it's our science as well as others. And the science doesn't always translate to what's on the market. It always takes, you know, often takes decades for things to catch up. So that's why people should do their own research.
Well, congratulations to you. Thank you so much for all of this. And the reason I say congratulations to you and your team is because you connected the dots. You know, when we go down the pathway of science and also my own research, we go down a path we don't understand at the time we're studying it, that the application for it, it may be for a future time that's to come. But by you all putting the dots together, even though this was discovered way ago, you've been able to create something. And I think you're my opinion, I think you're at the beginning of more to come with this, if I might just say that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all of this. Again, please give out the website. And last question, what's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with?
My personal message is, and thank you so much for having me. It's been really, really fun speaking with you. My personal message is basically to everyone, take care of yourself, do your research, and, you know, be careful with what you trust your body to.
I give out that website because I want people to find out more. They can read up about the ingredients, the science, everything on their own. But how's the best way for them to do that?
Our website is a great gateway because we've, you know, collected a lot of information from other sources as well, but it's biovanta.com, biovanta.com.
And for those of you out there, lozenges, no nasal spray, there's something for everybody out there, but go look, pass it on. Thank you so much, doctor, for everything you're doing. Congratulations to you and your team for not giving up. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.